Go with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. That's where we're kind of flowing this series out of, following these different stories that the writer of Hebrews tells. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. We're continuing this Stepping into the Unknown series that we've been in. And as I was thinking about this verse and story that I'm going to share with you today, I couldn't help but going back a few years in my mind and thinking about a story that happened. Do you remember this season where we had COVID? You remember that? Okay, all right. Just making sure we're all in the same space. For us, I loved the boldness and leadership of our pastors that in that season, our church said, all right, we know we need to continue to serve. We need to continue to engage. And so our dinner church became a drive-through dinner church so we could still bless people. And these Sunday mornings, right, we had drive-in church. Y'all remember that? Wasn't that awesome? We had the big stage out there, the flatbed trailer, and we got to do church off of that, and they'd be preaching, and they'd make a good point. Everybody would honk their horns. Everybody online, you would type in beep, beep. Loved those moments of just, even in the midst of a storm, how can we celebrate the goodness of God? That trailer that we used, the big one, eventually the owner sold it, and so we had to build our own stage outside. And so we built it right into the steps, right into the main entrance on this side, on the parking lot side. And so every Sunday, we'd be out there, and then eventually we'd be out there and in here, and then slowly we were able to shift back to normal life. But we had that stage built into the back for a while. Now, I work here full-time, so tomorrow I'll come up here to work. Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm up here regularly. So I loved that stage on Sundays, but the rest of the week it was in the way. And I could not possibly take the time to walk around it and come up the ramp. Would have taken way too much of my time. And so every morning I would come and I would climb up it and jump up it and come into the building. And then when I was done, I would walk out the door and just walk off, jump off, and keep going. It didn't seem like a big deal to me. But some of our team started to warn me, hey, you're getting a little bit older. I was 32, 33 at the time. They're like, you probably don't want to do that. It's not good for your back, which obviously I ignored. I didn't listen. I didn't believe them. I didn't care. I just kept doing what I was doing. I'd finish, walk out, jump off the stage, go to my car, drive off. No problem. No big deal. We taking bets on how this story ends? Because, yeah, one day I walked out, I jumped off, and as my feet touched the ground, I was struck by lightning right in my sciatic nerve. And man, let me tell you, I went down. I am very thankful that I looked and there was no cars coming, because I landed and then I just crumpled forward. I was face first in the asphalt. My backpack is up over my head. My backpack, as you've seen, it's never closed. So now everything that was in my backpack is rolling down the street, and I just laid there. And I couldn't move, and I couldn't get up, and all I could do was remember the words of those who were wiser than me when they gave me this warning: you can't keep doing that. But I didn't listen. I didn't listen to the warning that I have. And I think of that story because we're going to be in verse 7, and we're going to look at Noah's life. And I love this story of Noah, but I put myself in that story, and I don't think I'd have done as well as Noah did. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, when warned, and we've established Jason doesn't listen very well to warnings sometimes, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear, Noah built the ark, saved his family, and by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. This morning, we're going to spend our whole time with Noah, looking at him, how he responds to these warnings, and how he's able to be in such a different place than I would be. I mean, for me, that warning was a warning about something unseen, right? I can't see what's going to happen. I can't see if there's issues in my back. I had no clue that there could have been up until the moment where I was very sure that there was. Warnings about things unseen can be difficult at times. You could think about it. You could think about it this way. When you drive, you're probably paying attention, right? You are all amazing, fantastic drivers. I know none of you would text while you're driving. You wouldn't look at your phone. You're paying attention. You know that there's vehicles around you, and it's dangerous. And so you pay attention. You train your kids. This is how you pay attention. This is how you drive. You watch because you can see the dangers all around you. And we do a good job of that. In our country this year, there will be a lot of accidents, and about 40,000 people this year will pass away from a car accident, which is a really big number. But compared to some other things, it's actually pretty low. The biggest killer, if you will, in our country is heart disease that will claim 800,000 people this year just in the U.S. And the big problem for heart disease is it's unseen. You can't see it. You don't know the threats. Like, sure, we know that we should eat better. We know that we should exercise. The doctor tells us you can't have the second bowl of ice cream before bed. And then they're extra mean and say, you probably shouldn't have the first either. It's like, but have you tasted it? It's so good. We know these things, but warnings about things that are unseen are so difficult to get into our lives. They're so difficult to act out. They're so hard to do well. But I love Noah, that he is warned by the Lord about things unseen. And then Genesis 6:22 says, Noah did exactly what God told him to do. He obeys. He builds the ark. You probably know the story. He builds the ark. The ark is wider than this room, taller by 3 times than this room, and 450 feet long. I don't even know how to do that math for how many times that it goes down towards Vincennes Street. It is a massive undertaking. But Noah, at the warning of the Lord, says, okay, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. I'm going to follow through with what you've done, even though it's a warning about something unseen. It had never rained up to that point. There was no rain in creation. So God is not warning him just about something unseen. It's something unprecedented. Noah's response could have been, what is rain? I don't understand the concern. There is no fear here. There's no threat. But he said, okay, God, you've called me to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey and walk out what you have called me to do. I love that heart in Noah. And I wish it was something that I was better at. I'm not that great at that. We're in this process of transition here, and we're stepping into the unknown for the future. And we've been within our team working this out for several months. And so my wife Carrie and I, as we're kind of preparing for the future, we've been going through assessments and different psychological testings and all of these kind of pieces to get to know Jason and Carrie really well, to say, all right, where are the strengths and where are the weaknesses? So back in October, we kind of had the results of all of those tests. And the next day, we were going to have a meeting with Dr. Campion, PhD, is kind of overseeing this process for us. And so the day before, they send the results out so that we can review them and be ready for the meeting. And so I'm going through my results, and they're just all like really positive, really encouraging. There's one little note in there that sometimes he struggles with the truth. But other than that, it was an amazing review. No, it's here's some strength, here's some weaknesses, here's some things that you've got to be aware of, and it's a whole mixed bag. And I'm reading through it, and I'm like, yeah, I am good at that. And I'm like, yeah, that does kind of sting. I do struggle there. But there was one thing that as I read it, there was one line, it's all the way down towards the end, says he may be difficult to persuade when his mind is made up. And so I thought about it for a little bit. I thought about it a little bit more, and then I made up my mind that he was wrong. So that doesn't feel like me. I love to collaborate, I'm good with the team. I'm not difficult to persuade. And I, like, zero irony in it. Like, I legitimately went to the meeting the next day ready to argue that point. And I didn't see it. I was blind to the silliness of that. But that's where I was. I was like, that's not I'm not difficult to persuade. And so we're going through the meeting, and it is hours and hours of just all of these things, these assessment results. And it was really helpful, but then we're getting through, we're going just in order, and we get to this point, and he starts to talk about it. You know, Jason had saw through the assessments that there's probably times where you're kind of difficult to persuade when your mind is made up, and I'm about to respond. But in the corner of my eye, I can see Jamie and Kim to my right, and they're nodding their heads. Yes, they're agreeing. I thought we were a team. And to my left, in my peripheral vision, my wife is shaking her head. Yes, she's agreeing. And I realized it was a trap. They set up a trap for me. I'm not great at when my mind's made up, when I know what I want, the direction I want to go, I'm confident and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go that way. And sometimes that means I don't obey well. I don't listen well. I have my mind set, my mind made up. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. And I look at Noah here and I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I could have done what Noah did to obey God, to turn and to do something when faced with unprecedented, unseen storms that were coming, to respond in such a good and holy way that Noah did. I want to look at where I think that foundation for him comes from. I want to go back to his story. Like, you probably know his story. You know the highlights. You know that God shows up. We already talked about he builds the ark, and then the storm does come. And Noah and his three sons and his three daughter-in-laws and his wife, there are 8 people who survive this storm out of all of humanity. And then God brings the waters back. They recede. They land. They get to come out. And the end of chapter 9, maybe if you've been around church a little while longer, you've heard the end part of Noah's story, right? That he goes and he's a farmer. He replants all of his things. He plants, one of the first things he does is grapes. He makes wine. He goes to the first ever Super Bowl party and watches the game. And he has a little bit too much of it. He drinks a little bit too much. The story ends with him getting drunk, and there's some issues there with family and all of that. He goes a little bit over. Now, I'm a Cowboys fan, so tonight, if the Eagles win, I probably will need a drink. It'll be a little bit too far for me, so I know where I stand. I'm with you, Tristan, on that. I realized this morning during worship, first service, I looked down, and y'all know I like my shoes. And I made a mistake today when I picked out green shoes. And I didn't have time to go home and change in between. So I wanted to just preach barefoot, but that wasn't a good call. They said no. So we know Noah's story. We know how it ends, but how it begins is what I'm really interested in today. How it begins. Because the flood doesn't happen until Noah is 600 years old. He is 600. It takes decades and decades to build the ark. We don't know exactly how long, but it takes a long time to build a boat that is that big. Right? I mean, I cannot even wrap my head around how long it would take. I know I would get into day one and give up because I would have not the slightest clue of how to do it. But Noah, he gets there, but he starts well before that. His story doesn't start when he's 500 and his children start being born. His story starts before that. So before Noah builds the ark, look at Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. This is the culture that Noah is raised in. This is the people that Noah is around, people whose every inclination, every thought, every piece of their heart was always focused on evil. Their thoughts were always in the wrong direction. Their dreams, their hopes, their desires. These are children who have been raised by parents who knew the Lord, but they've gone so far off course that through the years of their lives, they've gone in such a wrong direction that they are just full of evil. But Noah is different. You jump down to verse 9. Verse 8 even says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. How did he find that? Verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. If you have a physical Bible and a pen, you should underline that last line. He walked faithfully with God. I love that phrase. Because for Noah to get to this moment at year 600 where the rain starts and he's built the ark and he's done this amazing thing, we can look at that and say, man, I don't know how I could ever get there. I don't know how my life could ever look like that. I don't know that I could ever have that level of faith. But to do that means you miss the 600 years prior where Noah builds that faith. God doesn't just show up to Noah and pick him and say, Noah, out of all the evil people, you're the least evil, so I guess I'm stuck with you. He shows up to Noah and says, hey, happy Tuesday. Because they've been walking faithfully together for years and years, decades and centuries. Noah's story doesn't start when he builds the ark. His story of faith starts when he begins to walk faithfully with God. And as we go through these series and see these great moments of faith, we see these heroes of faith who step into the unknown boldly and they claim land, they walk out the promises of God in real time. When we look back on those, it's easy to say, well, yeah, of course, Noah, he's Noah. He's that guy. He is obviously the one who God would call, but it couldn't ever be me. Except Noah's story, when he's living it, he's just another person. He's just one of the people. In fact, he's kind of the odd one out. He's the one who in business dealings, right, it said that he's blameless among the people. That means that in Noah's business dealings and his work with farming as he sells crops and all of these things, he's not out there taking advantage of others. He's the only one living the right way. He's day in and day out making choices that are different from everyone else who's around him. He doesn't let his culture or his people dictate how he should live. Instead, he says, no, I've walked with God. He's told me that I need to treat you fairly in my business dealings. And so I'm going to. And the next day, he wakes up. He walks a little bit with God. Goes on their lap around the neighborhood. And God reminds him how he's been, you know, angry at his neighbor and says, you got to go forgive him. And Noah says, you sure? Like, you're aware of what they did, right? God says, yeah, you got to forgive your neighbor. He says, okay. And he walks faithfully with God, and he goes and forgives someone who's wronged him that he doesn't want to. Right? A week later, comes by, and he walks with God, and God shows up and says, I want you to go encourage your cousin down the road. And he says, all right, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but if you've called me to go, I'll go and you'll give me words. And he goes and he walks faithfully with God and he does what God has put on his heart to do. Now it's that moment where you're in the grocery store and you see the person. You see somebody you don't know, but you see them with their cart and the Holy Spirit just nudges you to say, hey, go tell them that God loves them. And you're like, that was probably the pizza. Let me turn my cart and walk. Nobody else, just me? Just me? We got to go back to that honesty thing, right? That moment in the grocery store where the Holy Spirit nudges you and says, go do this. And you're like, that's the risk. That's stepping into the unknown. I don't know how they're going to respond. Before you get to these big unknown moments where you build an ark, you start with daily, regular, unknown moments where God says, I want you to take a step. I want you to take one step. Walking faithfully with God begins with one step at a time. And before Noah ever built an ark out of cypress wood, he built an ark of faith by taking single steps faithfully with God. This is why he's able to respond to God in Hebrews chapter 7 and in this whole story with full obedience. To say, yes, whatever you ask, into the unknown, I'm ready to go because God, I've seen you, I've followed you into the unknown every day of my life, so I'm going to keep doing it because I know, God, that you're going to be faithful, that you're going to show up in right ways. You're going to lead me. You're not going to forsake me. You're not going to forget me, that I can follow you and I can trust you because you've been good every step of the way. This is how we get to that big faith that Noah ends with. But it starts in an everyday faith that you and I have the same chance to walk into. We have the same opportunity to walk with God every day. I've talked at times that I'm not really a baby person. It's not really my favorite thing. Some of our friends were here first service, and they're there with their nine-month-old, and after service, there's a bunch of people like going and cooing over the baby and all that, and I'm like, cool, baby's here, all right. It's just not my thing, right? You bring your baby to me, and like, isn't he so cute? I'll be like, it looks like a baby. It does. Looks kind of like you, so I'm not sure he's cute. No. These are the things we think but don't say. Haven't gotten there yet. Not a huge baby person. Even in my own family, like, love to be a part of that and help, but my kids are now 11 and 13, and now, man, I'm in. Middle school, let's go. Love it. I'm here for that. I know it's crazy and difficult, but I can have conversations, right? We can walk through the difficult moments. We can walk through the difficult moments at school, and then I can talk with them. All right, well, how are you feeling about that? What are you thinking about what they said? How do you think you should respond? And the whole time, my whole world is just, as I'm raising my kids, all right, who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Because at 11 and 13, you really get to take some steps here to say, I want to become somebody who walks faithfully with God. I want to become somebody who walks the way that Jesus walked. And so I'm going to watch him, and I'm going to learn from him, and I'm going to think through, who am I becoming? It's good at their age, but whether you're their age, you're in your 30s, you're in your 60s, the answer to that question still matters. Who am I becoming? Am I somebody who, like Noah, is walking faithfully with God on a regular basis? If you have the Cape Vineyard app tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., if your notifications are on, your phone's going to ding. And it's going to say, hey, remember to journal. Here's our verse today, Hebrews 11:7. And here's some thoughts to go journal on. And you get that choice right in that moment. Am I going to walk faithfully with God today? Am I going to go hear him speak into my life? Or am I too busy? Do I got other things going? Am I going to fall into the trap of, all right, like, not right now. I'm cooking eggs right now. I'll come back to it in a few minutes. And those minutes, they disappear real quick if I'm not careful. We get these choices every day. Am I going to walk faithfully with God? I love that Noah says yes, and he does it so well. Eugene Peterson, quoting an old philosopher, Nietzsche, repopularized a phrase with one of his books, a long obedience in the same direction. This is what it means to grow in faith, that I would have a long obedience, consistently moving in the same direction, walking faithfully with God in his way, in his direction, over a long period of time. It takes a while to build up to that faith moment of building an ark, of standing against a storm that nobody has ever seen. But Noah gets there because he has a long obedience in the same direction, which is difficult for our culture, because we all love instant results, right? Instant ramen, microwave, whatever you need, and get the results really quickly. And that's about the only way I know how to cook. But some of you, you know there's a better way. You know how to use that thing called an oven, or a stove, or a crock pot, or a grill. The grill I can handle with, like, two things. You know how to cook. You know how to season the food properly, right, Richie? That matters. You know how to marinate it, how to let it sit and simmer, and it takes more time. I could eat a lot of bowls of instant ramen while you're spending your time cooking and cooking and cooking and cooking, but at the end of it, those microwave burritos, they don't taste nothing like the real thing, do they? It takes time to develop and grow and create the best things in life. And it takes time for us to be able to build that arc of faith, that consistency with the Lord, walking faithfully day in and day out with the Lord to walk into that faith that he's created us for. It's not something that we earn. It's not that you have to get this many steps in and then congratulations, you earned your faithfulness badge for the day by walking with the Lord. It's not that. It's that as I walk, my character is shaped. And as I walk with him, it's formed inside of me because I watch, read in scripture, how does Jesus respond to these things? How does he call me to live? In what ways does this book warn me about things unseen so that I can change my behavior, even though for somebody like me, my mind is made up. And I know how I'm going to respond to that person who wronged me. And I know how I'm going to handle that situation that made me mad. And then I read something in scripture and the Holy Spirit says, you sure that's the right way to go? That doesn't seem like a way to walk with me. And I have to listen to his warning and pout and say, God, just let me be angry at them. He says, no, you got to forgive them. You've got to let it go. You've got to go make peace. You've got to go share my hope. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark. I love that little phrase, holy fear. It's a difficult one, though, because you could read that and think Noah is just responding. He's afraid of God. God says, do this or I'm going to crush you with my thumb. And Noah says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll go do it right now, and gets to work out of fear. But it's not that kind of fear. It's not like a normal, regular fear that you or I might face. The writer of Hebrews says it's a holy fear that motivates Noah to say, this is how you should live. And what that means is not, the word fear is kind of hard to deal with. It's the same fear of the Lord that's throughout the Old Testament. It's not an afraidness. It's an awe and reverence of how much greater God is than I am. That when he looks at the unknown, it's not unknown to him. That he knows every step of the way. And so as he calls me to walk faithfully with him, I respond in a holy fear to say, all right, God, if you're leading, then that's the way I want to live. That's the way I want to go. That's where I want to be. And for me and my personality, the way that that works out, I'll share a little bit just kind of my own thought process as we've been preparing and walking through this transition. At times, and I'll use the same phrase for each of the different ways that I can feel. There's a few different emotions that I've felt as we've talked through this transition season. At times, it's the Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, let's blank go. We're going to lose the middle word. Let's go. Let's go. It's this moment where his face sets and he says, all right, we're coming back right now. Let's go. We've got this. I'm going to drag my team. I'm going to, in my strength and my power, y'all haven't seen how good I, let's go. I got this. There are times where that pride and my human strength wells up in me. There are times where the regular fear wells up and I look at my wife and I say, all right, let's go. We can't do this. Let's get in the car. Let's go. Let's drive north until we run out of gas and we'll start a new life up there. Let's go. Let's get away. Let's go. All right? That's the regular fear. There's my own pride, my own strength. There's that fear of I just got to get out, get away. Or in my best moments, in my highlights, it's let's go walk with God. This is how our church walks into the unknown, is that we walk faithfully with God. It's this holy fear moment of God. We can't, we don't know, but you do. The unknown is unknown only to us. To you, it's known and it's clear. And so I'm going to stay in your presence. I'm going to walk faithfully with you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to revere you. If you want a picture of what that looks like, you felt it last week when we took communion. And we had this peace of the Lord settle over the room. And we were in his presence. And it's this moment that is wholly full of awe before the Lord. And we sang that song, The Blood, again. That's a moment of holy fear, not of physical fear, but of holy fear, recognizing, God, you are so good in our lives. Of course I'm going to follow you. Of course I'm going to give you everything. Of course I'm going to take these steps to walk with you faithfully because there is nothing better. Noah has walked so faithfully with God that at whatever age he is, 540, whatever, when God shows up and says something unprecedented is about to happen and I need you to build an ark, he's ready. He says, okay, let's go. He's got this holy fear, this right way of seeing God that says, God, if that's what you're calling me to do, then that's what I'm going to do. It's unknown, it's unprecedented, which means it's scary and it's difficult, but if you're going to be there, God, I'm in. I'm in because I've walked faithfully with you and I know I will continue to and you will continue to be faithful. And then look at what happens. Hebrews 11, verse 7. In holy fear, Noah built the ark and saved his family. I love that ending for this story. That Noah builds this ark. I'm sure his sons are out there helping. They're sweating. They're lifting the logs. They're doing the work. And then when it's time, they get in the ark together. They've preached. They've shared the hope. They've reached out to those around them, to neighbors, to family members, to cousins, to grandparents. They've cared for. But at the end of the day, it's Noah and his family, 8 people in all. Those are the only ones who are willing to get into the boat. And through this faith, God saves Noah's family. He saves humanity. He gives them this safe space to ride out the storm, to get through the difficult storm that they are prepared and ready to go. If you've been here for a little while, you've been through some storms, right? Physically, some hurricanes. And you know how valuable it is to have the safe space to ride out the storm. That I need a place I can go, where I can survive, where I can get through the storm. And you have 2 options for that. One, when the storm shows up, you can figure it out. I didn't spend any time trying to develop faith. I didn't spend any time planning ahead. No, I don't have any hurricane shutters. No, I'm not really sure how to lock the garage. No, I'm not ready for this storm. Or we can walk daily, faithfully with God and start building up that ark of faith, if you will. That when the storms hit, I know where to turn to. I know how to get back to God. I know where he is. I know that even though I don't know, even though it's unknown and I don't know how to get through it, I know that God's going to be faithful because I've seen him get me through it every single time before. It's not something that I earn. It's something that I walk into. And for many of you, like me, it's a place that you get to be. I mean, there are times where this place has been a safe haven in the storm for me, right? Noah saves his family. And if you know my story, you know, I started attending this church when I was in high school as a 16-year-old. How old are you, Andrew? 16. I was your age, buddy. I was not sitting on the front row. I was begrudgingly and unwillingly sitting in the back row where you guys are, Colin and Monica. I was right back there. Like, I don't want to be here. We had moved down here 1.5 years before. This was probably church 6 or 7 that our parents had drug us to. And they said, we're going to get you a safe haven. We're going to get you a safe place. We're going to get you a safe place to ride out the storms. You're going to find your faith again. We'd grown up in faith, but my brother and I, we'd both kind of walked away from it. Remember our first Sunday here, my mom looked at Jamie and said, we're here because of these 2 boys. Figure it out. And he's been walking out that command for 20 years now, faithfully caring for us. Kim's caring for us and helping to raise me in the faith and to walk out that I now have this safe space. There were times back then where mom would look at me and say, go to this group. And I'd be like, nah, not doing it. Nope. And she said, give me your keys. I'm taking the car back. And I said, wait, you can't do that. She said, yes, I can. It's in my name. I said, where was the address again? All right, I'll go. There were times where, like, if I'm honest, mom drug me into the boat, right? Like, I didn't want to go. And mom said, get your blank into the damn boat. We're getting on the boat. You got to go. Get in the boat. But she got me. My dad got me to this safe place. Noah, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. I love that. You don't know how far out your daily walk, your faithful walk with God, it reverberates into your family, into the coworkers that you have, to your neighbors, that as you faithfully walk with God, you get to help bring others, create a safe space for them, bring them where they can ride out the storm because they get to see your faith be challenged, be spurred on by it and say, I'm going to live my life a little bit differently. I'm going to make some different choices. They know who they can call. If you do it right, you walk faithfully with God right, your friends, your neighbors, they know who they can call when they're in the storm, don't they? And you respond. You say, it's unknown to me, but I'll help you get to Jesus. I'll help you get to God. I've seen him build this ark. Let's go together. Let's find the answer together that I'll care for you. I'll walk with you. Noah's holy fear not only saved him, but it helped to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. We'll end on this little heir piece. That he became heir. He got, through his faith, to this spot where he got adopted as a son by God. That he became an heir of all of the inheritance that God has for his children. Which means that Noah walked with God faithfully for 600 years, had the ark, had that incident. 350 years after the storm, Noah continues to walk with God. At the age of 950, Noah died. And for the last 4,000 years, or whatever it would be, he has continued to walk faithfully with God into eternity. That as an heir, because of his faith, as an heir, he gets to walk with God into eternity. It's not just for these 80 or 90 years that you or I will get on earth. That these steps of walking into faith, of faithfully walking with God, they echo out into all of eternity, as far as you could see. That God's promise to you and I is that as you come to know him, is that as you make the step even later in this service where we'll give you a chance to stand and say, I say yes to Jesus as Lord, that in that moment you become his heir, the heir of righteousness. That means that you are in right standing with God. And so you can have a confidence that when I face storms, God's going to get me through because I'm his son and he protects his family. I'm his daughter and he watches over, he cares for, he blesses his daughters and he's going to get me through. Noah's faith saves his family and gives them all an eternal future that they can hold on to. And let me tell you, when you have an eternal future and an eternal hope, those storms don't seem quite as big. They start to shrink a little bit because your eyes are on God and you see how much bigger he is than the storms that you're facing. Even as we step into the unknown in our lives, we know that he is the God of the unknown. And he can walk us through it. He can guide us through it. He can get us through those storms. The best way to start, though, is way before him, to start walking in that faith. We're going to close in a moment of prayer right now. And if you've never started that relationship, you've been walking in your own strength, your own direction, your own kind of way. Maybe today it's a time to say, I need to start walking a different path. I need to get on Jesus's path. I need to walk in faith instead of in myself. And so we're going to close in a moment of prayer right now. And if that's you, the Holy Spirit's been working in your heart, even as we've been talking, I want to invite you to pray with me. Let's pray together. And if that is you, just invite him in right now with a simple prayer. Say something like this. Say, Jesus, I want to start to walk with you. I welcome you to be Lord in my life, that you would lead me. Father, I want to walk in a holy fear with you. Not a physical primal fear, not a selfish my own strength, but in a holy fear, recognizing how good you are, how powerful you are, how loving and kind you are. And it's in a moment, prayer like that he shows up. He takes your hand says, let's walk faithfully together. I'll never let you go. Bible promises he doesn't forsake us. He doesn't leave us. He walks through each moment with us, the good moments and the unknown stormy moments. He stays faithfully with us. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Amen.